You know, we've been talking about the last couple weeks getting in alignment with your assignment, right? Getting in alignment with it. What does that mean? Getting in alignment. Well, we just like I shared, the word that came forth at the beginning of the service that God has placed in the body as He sees fit. Yes. He has an assignment for each and every one of us. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. You could say He has a calling for each and every one of us. Some of us, that's, you know, obviously it's different for everyone. Some it's a public ministry. Some it's a ministry of prayer. Some it's a ministry of evangelism, talking to people. Some it's a ministry of finances, you know, financing the kingdom. These are all things that God has called us to, and we each have our part to play, right? We've been talking about that, our part to play. Well, I'm saying that this is, I believe this with all my heart, that 2018 is the year of alignment. It's the year that Christian Growth Center gets in alignment with its assignment. It's not that we haven't been going along that path and doing what we're called to do, but it's just helping bring us into focus. Maybe a clarity of focus on our assignment. And I'm calling that alignment, getting in alignment with our assignment. I believe each of you are going to start to get in alignment with the assignment that God has put on your life. And I believe the body of Christ universal. I'm telling you, it's time that we start getting and seeing these things come in alignment with our assignment. For the final awakening, the final awakening, the last reformation, the greatest revival that the earth has ever seen. It's on the doorstep. It is on the doorstep. We are right on the doorstep. Right? And we are pushing that door open. We are coming around, just like Reggie shared, we are coming around the corner and we're able to see a wider perspective of what that looks like. We're opening that door. We're opening that prophetic door and we're able to see into the realm of the Spirit what God has in store for the earth in these last days. Amen? Yes. How many know, and I'm sure you have, if you have read the papers, turned on the TV, or been on the internet, Billy Graham went home to be with the Lord last Friday, I believe it was. 99 years old. If he'd have lived on this earth until November, he'd have been 100 years old. 100 years old. And it said that in part of honoring Billy Graham, I just saw this on the internet, but in part of honoring him, they were showing a video that he made. It was his last public address to America, and it was at his, I believe, his 95th birthday, if I've got that right. But I have a short clip from that, and I want to show it to you, and then we're going to talk about that. I'm going to bring this down here, and we just want to show that short clip, if we could, please.
As I look back over my life, it's full of surprises. I never thought I would become friends with people in different countries all over the world.
Well, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
I want us to look at the cross tonight.
I see how God's hand guided me.
Love one another.
When I began preaching many years ago, it was not with any thoughts that I'd be preaching to large audiences.
Come to the cross.
God has done this.
Christ is alive. Modern America today, there is a vacuum of the soul.
Our country is in great need of a spiritual awakening. Well, there have been times that I've wept as I've gone from city to city and I've seen how far people have wandered from God. Of all the things that I've seen and heard, there's only one message that can change people's lives and hearts.
There is a way if you come by the way of the cross.
The cross. The cross.
I want to tell people about the meaning of the cross. Not the cross that hangs on a wall or around someone's neck.
We receive our freedom purchased by the ransom at the cross.
But the real cross of Christ.
The cross expresses the great love of God for man.
It's scarred and bloodstained. His was a rugged cross.
His real purpose for coming was to die.
I know that many will react to this message, but it is the truth. And with all my heart, I want to leave you with the truth.
God says, I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love.
That He loves you, willing to forgive you of all your sins.
Powerful, and that's just a snippet of it. Did y'all sense the anointing though on that video? They call him the America's pastor. You know, great men of God, they've been ascribed names sometimes after their passing. And for instance, Smith Wigglesworth was, some considered him the apostle of faith. They call Billy Graham the America's pastor. Pastor's heart. He wanted to see people born again. He wanted to see people's lives change through a relationship with Jesus. Amen? And you can go online and see the rest of that, but some of the stuff he's talking about in that, he says, I've been praying that we might have a spiritual awakening. He said, I think that becomes possible only as individuals surrender their lives afresh and anew to Christ. A spiritual awakening as we surrender our lives afresh and anew to Christ. He said, first we must do everything we can to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Live a life in which we love one another, we help one another, and we live according to His word as Jesus lived. He goes on and says, the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us live that new lifestyle. It's one of love, gentleness, and patience, and all of these things that are the fruits of the Spirit. America's pastor. We're going to talk about some interesting stuff in just a minute about this. But I wanted to share too, Tricia sent me something. I believe it was from Japan. I could have been wrong, but it was something that Billy Brim, was that where it was from? Well, it was her blog, Billy Brim's blog. Billy Brim's blog, she shared this, and it was very interesting. This, back in July of 2007, Billy Brim was on a plane ride, and the Lord spoke to her, and she said, this is part of what He said to her. He said, tell Oral Roberts that some men can choose the day of their departure as is revealed through the Apostle Paul, but two men who cannot are Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. The dates of their departures are in the sovereign plan of God. This is back in 2007 now. For at their departures, Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, at their departures, there will be a major shift in the heavenlies. Have y'all heard that? Have you heard it from here? We've been talking about a shift for over a year now. And that she saw that in 2007 and told Oral Roberts about that, that a shift in the heavenlies will happen at those two men's departure. And these are some other prophecies that I've heard about it. Kim Clement has had a prophecy about it, and there was even a clip, and some of y'all may have already seen this on the internet and stuff, Benny Hinn with Mark Sharona. But anyways, a new dimension of insight and seeing, spirit of knowing and seeing will come upon the body of Christ with the departure of those two men, or with Billy Graham. The most significant day in church history when Billy Graham dies. Another prophecy. And this is another, his passing, Billy Graham's passing, will open up spiritual doors for great evangelism and usher in the greatest harvest in church history. Church, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. The harvest is ripe on the vines and the laborers are few. We've got to be out there harvesting. It's harvest time. It is harvest time. You know, Billy Graham was a great evangelist, tremendous evangelist. You saw some clips about the and, you know, millions of people that came to know Christ through his ministry, through the anointing that was on his life. And I've heard people say how it was just easy. You know, they just came forward, and, you know, he could be talking about growing peas in the garden and people would be surrendering their life to Jesus, you know. The harvest, and we've heard that the harvest in this last day, it's going to be easy to win people to the Lord. It's going to be easy. It's going to come easily. And Gene Smith pointed something out on Wednesday night. He looked at these crates. He said, are those up there for any specific purpose? No, my wife thinks they look good. I think that's about the only purpose I know them. He says, you know what those are? I said, yeah, they're wooden boxes. He said, those are crates, harvest crates, apple crates. Yeah, somebody got it. The harvest. Those, just like these doors, I believe were a prophetic symbol. When Nikki put those up there, open doors of opportunity. These harvest crates. And then Gene had a great idea. He said that they normally have the name of the harvester or whatever on the side, and this one does. But we ought to put CGC on the side of that. Amen. Symbolic of bringing in the harvest. Isn't that good? Yes. I'm telling you, we have a window of opportunity. We are in a unique time to win souls to Christ. And we need to be doing all that we can as a body to do that. I believe that talking about all these prophetic words that were coming forth at Billy Graham's passing and going to be with our Lord and Savior, that this is, I believe, the final confirmation that the shift has occurred. The shift has occurred and things are lining up. Things are getting in alignment for these last days. They're getting in alignment. Amen? And I'll share and just briefly go over a few things we've talked about. Alignment, the definition is the proper positioning or state of adjustment of parts in relation to each other. And I've been sharing about how we all are a part of the body, right? And we all have to get in alignment. And when we do, it builds up the body in love. Well, I believe that's for the church universal too. You know, each part has to be doing their part to build up the church in love for the times that we are in. And I shared out of Ephesians 4:16. Says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We have to be doing our work. There's work to be done. And that's not work for salvation. No, that's work for souls, I believe. Amen? Amen. The body cannot build itself up unless you, each part, does the work. The body of Christ, universally, does the work. We talked about being doers of the word, right? And not hearers only. That's in James. We have to be doers of the word. When we get our heart right by hearing, then we get our words right. And listen, we need to, just like praying over the live music. You know, we talked about it in class this morning and brought it back to our attention about the words that have been spoken over this congregation. And this congregation is getting in alignment. So how do we do that? How do you help this congregation get in alignment? One, you pray over the words that have gone forth that we believe we are called to. We, house of miracles, a place of restoration, our battle cry being restore, restore, restore. A place of restoration. A house of miracles, that prayer is a priority here. You know, that we're an epicenter for change, for that shift occurring. You need to take these words and pray over them and meditate on them. That's how you can do your part in helping get the body get in alignment. Right? We all want to be a part of, I mean, you wouldn't be here if you didn't want to be a part of something, I believe. You could be, you know, sitting at home and doing other things or, you know, going to a race or whatever. You could be doing a lot of other things. The enemy has provided a lot of different distractions for you to get into if you wanted to. But you are here because I believe you've been placed here for such a time as this. And you want to be a part of something. So I'm encouraging you. Get involved. Be a part of it. Do your part. Pray over the words that we've heard come out of this pulpit from different men and women of God. Amen? We talked about getting our words in alignment. We shared death and life are in the power of the tongue, the power of our words that we speak. So when you speak words over the words that have come out from this pulpit, when you speak words over that, there's power there. Yes, Lord, I believe that we are going to have live music again, and it's going to be such a unique sound that it's going to attract people and want to know, what in the world is that sound? What is it? What's going on there? People will be drawn to it. Pray over that. Speak words of, yes, in agreement with those words. You know what I'm saying? Words have power. They have to be aligned with the Word, obviously. We have to go back to the Word of God as our basis for everything. Amen. You must compare every word you hear, whether it's here, on TV, from another person, you must compare it with the Word of God and make sure it's in alignment with the Word of God. Amen. You must do that. Anything I say, if it sounds contrary, you come to me and we will reason it out together. I assure you. I assure you. We shared out of James, this is just kind of review, again, recap. We shared out of James 3 that our whole being goes as our tongue goes, right? The scripture where you put the bits in the horse's mouth, and although they're huge creatures, you can turn them any way you want them to go most of the time. I got to tell you a funny story. When we lived down in Florida, we had, I've told y'all about Emery's Acres, and we did therapeutic horseback riding for children with disabilities, and we got this one horse. My friend and Nikki saw this beautiful, beautiful apex quarter horse. Do you know what that is? So beautiful, beautiful male horse that was just out, had been out in the pasture, I don't know how long, and was kind of crazy. You know, when we went to pick it up, this is how crazy it was. We had a little two-horse trailer, and we were trying to get that horse into that little side-by-side two-horse trailer. And that thing reared up and put its hooves on top of the trailer. That's how big this horse was. And this was a thoroughbred trailer. It's a taller trailer than most. On top, broke one of my lights, right? Anyways, and the guy that owned it was trying to coerce it with a rope through the front. I mean, he was leaning on that with all he had. That rope busted, man, and he fell backward, landed in a big pile of cow poo. It was so funny. But the part I want to get to is, so we got this thing back at our house, and I may have told you this, I can't remember, but I think it was Levi or Caleb. We had a little platform up in a tree, like a little tree stand, was up in there, and it was just me and Nikki and I think two of the kids. And I got on this. Nikki said, Todd, get on that thing. And then we hadn't ridden it yet. I mean, took a saddle just fine, you know, and was being all nice and gentle. Well, I got on that thing. And I was wanting to go this way, and he said, no, I'm going to go this way. And he just went around in a circle, bucking the entire time. And Levi's up in the tree. Woo-hoo! Woo! Rodeo! Let's go! True story. So sometimes, most of the time, they'll go where those bits direct them. But sometimes they don't. I did not get bucked off. My bow legs kind of help for that. True story. So, and ships, it talks about ships, right? I mean, you have these gigantic, how many has ever seen one of these big freighters, you know, that carries the big cargo, how many has been on a cruise ship? I mean, that thing it's got this little point down in the water, it looks like, and this big, huge ship above the water. I mean, it looks like a thing just going to tilt on over. But there's reasons for that I'm not going to get into. But they are driven by just such a small rudder. They turn that rudder, and that ship will go in that direction. That's how our words are. That's how our words are. That's why we have to put a guard over our mouth. We have to think about what we're saying before we say it. You know, we have to think about the words that we're speaking. We have to make sure that they line up with the Word of God. And if you're speaking to someone else, you got to make sure they're edifying. If they're not edifying for that person, you probably ought not be speaking them. Because even a word of correction is edification, okay? I'm not saying it has to be positive all the time. I mean, it can seem negative to the hearer as long as it's bringing correction in a godly form. That is still edification. And we shared it starts in your heart, right? It starts in your heart, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So what you are putting in, that's why it is so key, what you are putting in to your spirit man. Because what you are putting in is going to come out. It's going to come out. I'm going somewhere with this. And then, so then, after you get the word in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth, you have to act on that. You have to act on those words. You have to put feet to those words. And what we're talking, you know, we've been praying. This is a perfect example. I'll go back to the drums. We've been believing and praying for years. We had live music here, for those of you that have been around for a while. For years we had live music. Restoration, they did an awesome job. Then we, you know, things changed and we went to playing CDs and singing back up to CDs. And we've been, but since that time, we've been believing for live music. There's just something about live music that facilitates some things in the realm of the Spirit. Allows you to go in different directions when the Spirit moves. Amen. So we've been believing for that. And so that's what we've been doing lately, is speaking it out, speaking it out. And I felt led that we had to act on what we've been speaking. Because we've been speaking, we've been talking about this for years. And just it didn't seem like it was gaining any ground. So I just felt of the Lord, I think it was of the Lord. He said, step out in faith, purchase the equipment. And that is acting on that. So we heard it in our heart that we wanted live music. We've spoken it out. We've prayed about it. And I believe this is an act of those things. And that we're going to gain some momentum. I'm going to learn how to play the mandolin. Now, y'all don't want me playing it up here. But that's been in the desire of my heart for years. I love the sound of the mandolin. It's one of my favorite sounds. I don't know why. I've just been drawn to that. I believe we all have sounds that we're drawn to. I mean, I believe that's why musicians play the instruments they play. I guess they're drawn to that sound. I mean, what do you think? Were you drawn to the sound of the keyboard? Is that why you started first playing? I mean, I think we're drawn to the instruments, to a sound that identifies with us. I mean, this. Listen, I'm going somewhere with this. I don't even know where it's going. It ain't about a mandolin. It's about you hearing the sound that your spirit man is tuned to. There is power when you are tuned in with the sound of God that He's speaking to you. Sound. Y'all need to chew on that and meditate about that. The sound of God resonating in your spirit, man. The power generated from that. How many has ever heard of Nikola Tesla? Yeah. He supposedly had invented this machine that would vibrate at a certain resonance. Is that? I don't know. You know what word I'm saying. It would vibrate that if left alone it would adjust itself to the vibration of whatever was in a building, whatever maybe, and it could actually, according to Nikola Tesla, cause earthquakes, cause buildings to tumble because it would identify with the vibration of a certain structure. Why am I sharing that? Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have a unique, I believe, and I'm not trying to get all spiritual New Age on you, okay? We have a unique resonating sound within us. And when that sound lines up with the sound of God, wow, There's power there. Amen? We got off on a real good tangent there. But that was for someone. I believe that spoke to someone. And God is sharing this because He wants you to see things differently. He wants to open. We've been praying about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, spirit of wisdom and revelation, and He is opening up some eyes. He is opening up some eyes today to let you see into the realm of the Spirit and how these things are happening and what is to happen in the future. So we got to put feet to what we're talking about. You know, so many talk about, how many of you have heard there's been classes and conferences and seminars in churches about back to Acts. We've got to get back to Acts. What are they talking about? The Acts in the book of the Bible of Acts and the miracles and the preaching of the gospel and the deliverance. And we got to get back to Acts. They keep speaking about it. I want to see some action. I want to see, and we're not result oriented. I'm not saying we have to see, but listen, the word will perform. It will accomplish what it is set out to do. He will perform His word. So if we're talking about getting back to Acts, what does that really mean? Or is that just some kind of nice catchphrase we all like to say? Getting back to Acts. How many do it? How many actually do what the book of Acts is talking about? How many have won a person to the Lord? I mean, I'm not looking for you to raise hands. I'm just rhetorical question. You want to? That's good. How many have baptized someone? Don't raise your hand. I know you done baptized my own son. How many have laid hands on someone and seen them healed? This is what we're talking about. When we say back to Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, these were the things that they were doing. These were the things that they were performing. These were the things that they were doing. How many have just prayed for someone? Huh? You know, this may shock you, but the gifts of the Spirit, they're not meant for in here. They are meant for out there. I'm not saying they can't occur in here, but they were meant for out there. What do I mean by out there? In the community, in the marketplace. That's where the apostles were going. They were going out into the community and performing these gifts of the Spirit. Amen? It was meant for out there. They happened outside the temple, outside the place of worship. Sunday should be a celebration of what's going on out there. It should be. It should be a celebration of what's going on out there. And not that it can't be extended in here, right? We know that. We know that people can come and receive deliverance, receive healing, receive prayer in here, in the church walls. But it was really meant for out there. It was really meant for out there. I wrote this down. I said, this should be a base camp of operation. The church should be a base camp of operation. What does that mean? A base camp. In a military setting, if there's a war going on in Europe and America sends troops over there, do you think those troops just gather in the base camp and stay there the whole time? There wouldn't be much help if they did, right? This should be a base camp. The base camp is you go, you get organized, and then those troops go out into that country and do whatever they are supposed to be doing. This should be a base camp. We should come here, get organized, celebrate what's going on out there in the field. Amen? Place of celebration, of praise and worship. Celebrating our King. But celebrating our victories out there. Do you remember when Jesus sent the 70 out? Right? He sent the 70 out, gave them power, right? To cast out demons, heal the sick. What did they do? when their ministry was done? Someone tell me. Came back and did what? Rejoiced. They came back and rejoiced. They came back. Come back to the base camp. Let's rejoice about the things that are going on out there in the field. Come back and rejoice. Man, I spoke to my neighbor the other day and they received Jesus. Oh, I was in the marketplace at Kroger and someone was complaining about a knee pain. And I just asked if I could pray for them. I said, in the name of Jesus, pain leave their body, and it left. And you come back and you tell us about it. And what does that do? That gets me excited, doesn't it? That encourages and edifies us and makes us want to go out and do it. Right? Isn't that? I mean, are y'all seeing this? Or is this too simplistic? Am I thinking too simplistic of what the cross that Billy Graham is talking about is about? Is it a simplistic view? I don't know. It is time for ordinary Christians to become extraordinary influencers. Last week I introduced that word, being an influencer. Wherever you go, whatever you do, the words of your mouth, your conversation with one another, your conversation with your coworkers, your conversation with your family, your conversation with people out in the community, everything that you say and do should point to the glory of God. Your actions. Sometimes you don't have to speak, just what you do. It's time for ordinary Christians to become extraordinary influences in our government, our community, our workplace, our businesses, and even, yes, our schools. Our schools. When the Holy Spirit, Gene encouraged us during our prayer time, pre-service prayer time, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you know it's of God, and you don't do what the Holy Spirit is saying, that grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. So when you hear, you need to act. That's what we're talking about. Hear, and then you be a doer. You put feet to it. Because you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We want to be obedient to do all that He's calling us to do. There's a move of God. I'm telling you, I believe with the, you know, just in those prophetic words that were spoken and that word with Mark Sharon and Benny Hinn, I should have said, was back in 2012. Now, Oral Roberts had already gone on to be with the Lord in 2009. Billy Graham was still alive, obviously. But now they have passed, and that has... I'm telling you, I believe, I mean, my spirit identifies with some of these words that are being spoken. It is opening up doors of opportunity for supernatural evangelism to occur in this earth. We've been talking about it too. We've been saying how easy it's going to be in these last days. So I'm saying this because I want to encourage you, because it can bring some trepidation. Sometimes when you think about talking to someone about the Lord or praying for someone in public, I mean, it can bring some angst, but it doesn't need to. It doesn't need to. And I'm telling you, if you will rely on the anointing that is on your life, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. That anointing is available to you. And you can rely and trust in the anointing to do the work. Right? It said that they went out, the disciples went out and were doing all these marvelous things because the Lord was working with them. They weren't doing it in and of themselves. The Lord working in you can do miracles. You are a conduit. You are a holder. You are a carrier of the Word of God. And guess what? We need you. The body of Christ needs you. The world need you to introduce them to the one you know. You have such a treasure inside of you. But it wasn't meant to be hoarded up and kept to yourself. It was meant to be shared. It was meant to be shared with a lost and dying world that desperately, desperately needs it. Just like Tricia said last Sunday, we're in serious times. We are in serious times. And I think I said this, not a heaviness serious, but serious in the sense that there is a harvest out there that is, I mean, seriously, it's ripe and it's dying on the vine. You know, when anybody ever, whether it be apples, I mean, I've got apple trees in my backyard and I've got more than I can even pick. And in fact, they're so overgrown now. Lee knows about these apple trees. He probably planted them. Did you plant them? Did you help plant them? Were they there?
My father-in-law did.
Your father-in-law planted these apple trees. I am so sorry. I have let them go. And they are just overgrown. But these apples, they still are producing apples. These apples, they get on the tree, right? And they look good. They look nice. They look perfect for eating. But what happens if you leave them there too long? They rot. They rot. The deer eat them. They fall to the ground. My dogs eat them. My chickens peck at them. But the fruit will rot on the vine if you do not harvest it at the right time. And we are, I'm telling you, you got to get this. We are in such a, we have such a unique window of opportunity. And it is, things are lining up. I mean, we've shared, you know, talking about the blood moons and things are coming into alignment. And then you hear prophetic words about these two tremendous pillars, men of God, that have gone home to be with the Lord, and that it's going to open up doors of evangelistic opportunity. We are in a very unique time. We have a very strategic window of opportunity, and we need to be doing our part.
Amen.
Us as individuals, us as a church, the church universal needs to step up, needs to arise, needs to awaken. Things are being shaken with that shift, and we need to take advantage of the opportunity set before us.
Amen.
Is this encouraging to you?
Yeah.
For some of you, it's correction. For some of you, it's encouraging. For some of you, it's edifying. For some of you, it's just confirmation of what you're already doing. But it is the time we are in.
Amen.
And when you're doing this, when you're thinking about these things, you know, I shared from Mark 24 about all the signs. We're to understand the signs of the time. When we look at all the things going on, and, you know, Mark 24 talks a lot about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes happening on the earth and all these signs happening. It says, do not be frightened. Do not be frightened. If anything, what prophecy does for me, and I hope it does for you, it brings a sense of urgency to you. And what do I mean by that? A sense of urgency to talk to your loved ones, to share the hope of glory inside of you. I hope it brings that sense of urgency, believing that time is short. I believe time is short. But we don't have to be frightened about that. We do not have to be frightened about it.
Amen.
We just need to be about the Father's business, doing what we're supposed to be doing, what we're called to do. So I hope that today I wanted to encourage you to really get with God. Find out, God, what are you calling me to do? And then making a step in that direction. It doesn't happen all at once. I told you, if I'd have believed, you know, if he'd have shown me sitting behind a pulpit when I first got born again, boy, I'd have ran as fast as I could run. I told you I couldn't even pray in public when I got born again. I understand. I understand. But we got to take those little steps. Right? Taking those little steps of faith. And God will meet you. He will, if you will take a step of faith, He will meet you. He will meet you. And as those steps get more and more, you're getting closer and closer to your destiny. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. God is so good. I believe He has some wonderful things in store for you. One, He loves you. Oh, He loves you. He loves you, and you know what? You have passions, and you think, you know, that may be a worldly passion. I believe it can be used of God. I mean, Jesus was a friend of sinners. So whatever that passion is that may take you into the world, praise God. It's an open door for you to speak into someone's life. Amen? So just keep that in mind as you go throughout your week, this week. I really want you to meditate, ponder, chew on these words. I want you to keep those words that have been spoken over this body before you at all times. House of Miracles, restoration, making prayer a priority. There's a shift occurring and we're an epicenter. We are an epicenter. I mean, we are making waves. And you got to see it like that. You got to see us making waves for God in the community. Making waves for God. Boldness. Boldness to go out there. And like I said, we're putting some things together. I believe we're going to have resources and tools to help us do this as a body as we grow here at Christian Growth Center. You know, we want to put some different things in place. I'm not going to share something specific right now, but you are going to see some feet being put to the ground.
Amen.
As we proceed. Amen? Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for that Your Word has gone forth. It has penetrated the hearts of those that are hearing, that are here to hear, that You've given them ears to hear, I should say. And Lord, that Word is taking residence inside of them. And as it does, they're speaking it. We are speaking these things out of our mouth. And we are putting feet. We're putting action to our words. To the Word that You've sown in us. We're not going to allow the enemy to come and snatch the Word out. We're not going to allow the distractions and cares of the world to overcome the Word. We're not going to let them choke the Word out. No. No, that Word is being planted in good ground. Good ground. Good ground. We all have hearts of good ground that the Word is being sown into. And that Word is growing on the inside of us. It's coming to fruition and coming out of our mouth. And when it comes out of our mouth, there is power in our words to change our environment, to change lives, to draw men unto You, the light inside of us. Father, I thank You. Then we rely on the anointing to do these things. We trust in God. You is where we put our trust. So Lord, I thank You for that. I thank You for the sound of the house. I thank You for the instruments and the vocalists. And Lord, I thank You that You are putting that all together. You are arranging it. And that the hearts of those that are being called in to do that, to participate in that, You're preparing their heart even now. You are sowing that seed in their heart and calling them in, calling them forth, calling them out of where they are, whether it's in the world or wherever it may be, and calling them into this house for such a time as this. And we only want the ones that You're calling here. We want to be specific about that. We want to be clear about that. We only want the people, the ministry gifts, the giftings that You were calling into this body. It's important. It's important, and it's part of, I believe, the path that God has placed before us as this body.